It's time for the ETF Spotlight, where each week we highlight one exchange-traded fund. There are thousands of ETFs available to invest in. ETF Prime has sorted through them all, so you don't have to.
We're actually spotlighting a suite of ETFs this week. They come from ProShares, who currently offers over 140 ETFs altogether. There's nearly $30 billion invested in those ETFs. So ProShares has built out an entire suite of dividend ETFs, specifically ETFs focused on companies who have consistently grown dividends over longer periods of time. And we're now very pleased to have joining us via phone from New York, Simeon Hyman, Global Investment Strategist at ProShares. Simeon, great having you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Simeon, you know, it's interesting for investors who have been involved with ETFs for a while. I think a lot still equate ProShares to leveraged and inverse ETFs, but you have continued to really diversify your lineup. You now offer an S&P 500 bond ETF, an online retail ETF. Obviously, the dividend growers suite we'll spotlight here today. What's been the approach to new launches over the past several years?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. Of that $30 billion, we've got well over $7 billion that are sort of, for us, regular buy and hold strategies. Although, to your point, regular for us is sort of not regular for everybody else. In other words, we're not in the business of playing market cap weighted ETFs. We're looking for what I think is best described as rules-based strategies. You know, strategies that do seek to provide outperformance, different characteristics that can complement or even serve as important core holdings. The dividend growers are a big piece of that, S&P bond and some thematic offerings. You know, that all offer the opportunity to play an important role in client portfolios that are beyond the important leverage and inverse offerings that were the inception of the firm.
Well, let's talk about the Dividend Grower Suite. The flagship product here is the ProShares S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats ETF, ticker symbol NOBL, Noble, great ticker. Walk us through the basics here. What's the strategy?
So Noble is focused on companies. It follows the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats Index, and that is the subset of the S&P 500 whose companies have grown their dividends for a minimum of 25 years. So that's a really long track record of consistent growth of dividends. And you know what you get when you use that type of screen are very high quality companies. You know, you can't be over-levered. You can't have very cyclical performance. You need to have consistency of growth of cash flow, of earnings, all the good stuff, good balance sheet metrics that would allow you to both deliver that increased dividend over time and give investors the confidence that that's likely to continue going forward.
So to give our listeners a flavor, who are some of the companies they might find in this ETF?
Yeah, so some of the companies that you might find in the ETF, and particularly as we go, you know, across even capitalization, and I like to give some sort of surprises in there too, because, you know, the strategy, you know, goes across mid and large cap too. So we also have ticker REGL, which is our mid cap strategy, and also SMDV, which is small cap. So, you know, you even get some surprises in there, like a Tootsie Roll, as the smaller companies actually have a consistent approach to delivering dividends too, which is sometimes a surprise to folks because you're often focused on only having companies. You associate this strategy with large cap companies, but indeed there are smaller ones in the universe too that offer very interesting complements to portfolios in addition to the well-known strategy of following those companies in the large cap space.
With Noble, how many total holdings, how many companies have met this criteria of growing dividends for at least 25 consecutive years?
So we actually had a bumper crop of new holdings. Four were added this year, so we're up to 57. And a couple of the names that recently made the cut include People's Bank and United Technologies. So a couple of new entrants in sort of our class of 2019. But there's not a lot of turnover. Because you really don't get a lot of companies going in and out of the index, but there were a few that made the cut this year.
Simeon, this is Connor Kelly. Following up on that, this is a fairly focused fund with less than 60 holdings in it. Where do you see this fitting in a portfolio? What is the typical investor that you see using these dividend-focused, high-quality ETFs you guys offer?
We see them really as core holdings, and let me explain why I think that's the case. You know, when you think about, and back to, you know, some of the high quality names like Coca-Cola and others that are in the back to your original question of the large cap holdings, you know, they resonate with folks, so they're easy to explain. But from a performance standpoint, they work as a buy and hold strategy because of the consistency of performance. You know, they're not deep value stocks, nor are they extreme growth stocks. They sit in the middle of the style box, and the consistency comes through. So, for example, let's look at Q4, which was a very rough quarter for investors. The S&P was down 13.5%. The S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats and Noble ETF down just about 8.5%. So significant defensive qualities. But, of course, the defensiveness in and of itself, if that was all the strategy offered, would require you to have sort of your finger on the trigger in terms of timing. You'd need to, you know, kind of go in and out of a strategy that was simply defensive. But the dividend growth strategies fit as a core holding because they also offer very nice upside participation when markets are going up. Because this isn't just a story of quality, it's also a story of quality plus growth because those dividends are growing. So with these strategies across the board, you're getting nearly all of the market upside, but with substantial downside protection, and that allows you to have these as important core holdings that can offer solid performance, enhanced performance, and even some volatility mitigation. So, you know, right in the center of the of core holdings across the equity segment.
Simeon, this is maybe more of an investor behavior question, but if the data shows us this dividend grower strategy works, I guess, number one, why isn't everyone doing it? And then two, if everyone does do it, does that impact the ability of the strategy to work moving forward?
You know, it's funny. This is, you know, kind of the old economist question that, you know, anytime you see two economists walk down the street and there's a $100 bill on the ground and neither of them pick it up because, of course, somebody would have picked it up before them and they just walk by it. So you can put yourself in kind of a death spiral of believing none of these opportunities exist, but sometimes they do. And in this case, there are a couple of reasons, but one of my favorites is it's almost a little bit akin to kind of earnings surprise. You know, when a company increases its dividend, it's a major, major commitment because the last thing you want to do is cut a dividend. Companies that cut their dividends are, across the board, the worst performers in the equity market. So, you know, when those dividends are increased, that's just a little bit of extra indication that prospects for those companies are just a little bit better than you thought they were before. I could list another bunch of reasons why we think the outperformance is persistent for so long a period of time, but that's one that always catches my eye, that they're always just almost, it's kind of an oxymoron, but they're consistently doing a little bit better than you expect.
You mentioned earlier ProShares also offers a mid and small cap U.S. version of the strategy. I know there's also a developed international and emerging market version. Are these all effectively the same strategy, just using different stock universes?
Yeah, that's it. They're all focused on the longest track record of dividend growth across their sleeve. So, and the only difference being the minimum number of years to qualify. So with the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats Noble, it's a 25-year commitment. REGL is our mid-cap strategy with 15 years, and the Russell 2010 and the MSCI EAFE Dividend Growers, EFAD, ticker, 10 years. So all the same strategy. The stocks within these portfolios are all equally weighted. That's really the best way to get to elicit the best outperformance from the screen itself. And the performance is similar across the board. In fact, if you look at SMDV, our small cap dividend grower, you know, as tough as Q4 was in the S&P 500, small caps were down 20% in the fourth quarter, and the Russell 2000 Dividend Growth Index was down just 8%. So again, quite defensive, but also pretty reasonable participation on the upside. So, you know, we'd encourage folks again to look, you know, beyond just Noble and its sort of obvious constituents of the large cap blue chips that you might imagine are there, but also look across capitalization and internationally as well.
All right, Simeon, we have a few minutes left here, and we spent a decent chunk of our show today talking these fee wars, fee compression across the ETF space. And if you don't mind, I'd love to get your thoughts on this topic. I know ProShares, your products are more differentiated, as you were alluding to earlier. You're not offering plain vanilla ETFs. But Do you have any thoughts on what we're seeing? You know, potentially zero-cost ETFs, companies fighting over a basis point or two. How do you view all this?
Well, yeah, for plain market cap weighted indices, almost the only differentiator is fee. So I think that's understandable in the current environment. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we're focused on differentiated strategies that are really, from our perspective, kind of the cutting edge of security and stock selection. So all these strategies, they're picking stocks. You know, you mentioned that they're not super concentrated, but we're really picking stocks. 57 out of the S&P 500 is a stock picking strategy. You know, just over 60 out of 2,000 in our Russell 2000 dividend ETF, dividend growth ETF, SMDV. So they're really replacing and competing against far more expensive, actively managed mutual funds and separately managed accounts. And there we think that we've, you know, really put together a very compelling value proposition.
Putting the fee discussion aside, I'm curious, where do you see white space in ETFs? Just broadly speaking, where could product innovation come from moving forward?
Well, I think there's still some innovation available in rules-based strategies because that's an evolving universe. Some people like to call it smart beta. I prefer rules-based strategies, ideas that come from sometimes from academia that do allow for persistent outperformance or persistent pieces of portfolio construction that are useful, but also in the world of thematics, that's also a space where we see some room to find some niches, such as our retail disruption suite and our recently launched pet care ETF, ticker PAWZ. So some little niches there in thematics that can add some satellite opportunity for portfolios, but also some opportunities for innovation in rules-based strategies in the core space as well.
All right. And then just lastly, I mentioned at the top that ProShares has focused on leverage and inverse ETFs in the past. I'm just curious, do you think education around those products has improved over the years? I know early on there was a lot of concern about whether or not, especially retail investors, knew what they were buying. Do you feel like that education has improved?
Yeah, we're certainly very focused on education. So, you know, for those who are interested in learning more about leverage and ETFs, how they operate, how to use them in portfolios, we have lots and lots of resources on our website, and we do think it's really, really important that people avail themselves of those and educate themselves appropriately. They're really powerful and effective tools, but you do want to make sure that you're fully educated on how to deploy them.
Well, Simeon, really enjoyed the discussion today. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
That was Simeon Hyman, Global Investment Strategist at ProShares. And you can learn more about their entire ETF lineup by visiting ProShares.com.